Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. I'm your host, Tommy Casabona. Thank you so much for tuning in. Find us, as I always say, at the top of every show, at all the other outlets, platforms, channels, whatever you want to call them. Facebook, Yankees and Gravy. Email me at yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Yankees and Gravy, as well as iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes, please. All you have to do is download the podcast app, and then you search for Yankees and Gravy. I will come up. You hit subscribe, and you will have a fresh pot of gravy for your commute home, your, you know, whatever you want to do, or anytime you preferably listen to your podcasts. We will come up in your feed all the time. And basically, if you haven't listened to the show before, we are an amateur radio podcast from a fan perspective. And I'd like to think a very educated fan perspective. Definitely come with a lot of passion. Definitely come with, you know, not necessarily inside information. We're not breaking stories here or anything like that. But anybody who has listened to this knows that, you know, we care about the Yankees. We love the Yankees. It's been a part of the fabric of who we are for many, many years. And, you know, baseball in general, I think Chris Russo said it, you know, why do people like baseball so much? It's boring. It's slow. It's this and that. And I can't disagree with it. If you're looking for action, you know, hockey or basketball, you know, even tennis, nonstop action. I don't know how those guys, why. I don't know. Tennis, I don't get. I guess you could say this with any anything you're not into. You can knock it. What do people say about baseball, that it's boring? What do people say about certain types of music? Like, either you could say it either about country music or EDM music. Oh, it all sounds the same. These are things that you say when you're not into it. It's no knock on you for not being into it, but it's just not the best thing you could possibly say is that it's just not for you. To think you know how to knock it, or think you have a reason as to why someone who does like certain types of things has bad taste, is not right. Because yes, if you listen to EDM as a 60-year-old and you just hear the boom, 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 the beat, it's just a cliche. But people who love EDM music, and I'm not particularly a aficionado or a lover or a passionate, I guess, enthusiast of EDM, but you know, the people who do and who are absolutely see the differences in the idiosyncrasies between each beat and each artist and this and that. Same thing with country music. Same thing getting back, landing the plane here as I ramble about, you know, weird stuff, is you guys have come to know and love for me. But baseball is not for everybody. But what Chris Russo did say about baseball, what is the attraction to baseball? Baseball is a companion. Baseball basically is there day in and day out. You know, football is a sprint. Basketball and hockey are maybe not so much of a sprint as football, but I guess they're like maybe the happy medium as far as, you know, baseball, the summer's there, you can turn on the radio at any time, turn on the TV, and have it in the background and enjoy it, and it's always there for you. The dog days of summer, you know, you obviously could never play a 162-game football season. Baseball, that's where the beauty of it is. It's a grind. It's more of a mental battle than anything else. How could you watch golf? You know what I mean? Why do people watch golf? I don't watch golf, but I'm not going to sit here and say to you that, you know, nobody should watch golf because it's boring. There is beauty in what golf is. The mental battle of the game, the internal struggle, the head games, the psyche type stuff. I can't play it. I tried to play golf a couple of times. I lose the club. The club goes further than the ball. But it's just baseball is, you know, this is the best time too. You know, that stretch run. We're in September, almost halfway through September, if you can believe that. And the pennant races are heating up, and you gotta love it. I've been away a little while. It's this time of year too is when football starts. So as far as sports goes, this is, you can't really get much of a better time of year than this. Baseball's heating up, football's just starting, and you know, I do fantasy football, so I'm busy. We're all busy. I got a job. This thing, much as I love doing it, doesn't pay me anything, so I do it out of the love, and I have to kind of manage, even though if it was up to me, I would love to be doing this every day and, you know, I just unfortunately have to make a living. And I also, you know, you give a shit about money. So when you talk about fantasy football, while I am not a week-to-week gambler of games, I do get into the fantasy football. And I do invest, I don't know, I guess all in about $500-$800. What's it going to be this year? About $600 in fantasy football. And ideally, you get that back. You got a chance to win a couple of that. Well, you know, maybe up to $3,000 in both leagues combined. I'm in two leagues. So when you do that, you know, that becomes part of your responsibility too, because you got that money out there on the line. You want to make that money. And you have to kind of spend, you know, a good week to 10 days doing that research. So that's kept me away a little bit, making sure that the drafts are in the rear view, though. I had my two drafts this past weekend. You guys in any leagues? I'm sure most of you are. It's just become such a huge, huge business. It's become a huge part of the football season. It's definitely helped the NFL a lot. I remember my friends more so than me growing up, football, baseball, very freaks, just sports freaks, college, bro, everything. I would say I am way, way more into sports than the average person, but not as much into all sports as my friends. However, the Yankees are a different story. There's no big Yankee fan out of anybody that I know than me. But we started doing fantasy football. It had to be. I remember my first fantasy football player that I picked ever. And this is we were actually scoring. This is a handwritten league, and we were scoring from the newspaper. You had to open up the newspaper, and that's how we would get the scores. So if there was discrepancies between Newsday and the Post or whatever, we had to kind of have a ruling body settle on it. And a lot of conflicts arose from that because of the fact that, you know, wasn't here now today. It's just, boom, it is what it is. It's computerized. It's digital. And the stats are the stats. But my first ever fantasy football pick was Thurman Thomas on the Buffalo Bills. So there you go, guys. Another piece of ammunition for you to hold my old age against me. I'm not that old, guys. I'm 40 years old. When I'm at sea, I feel 25. Speaking of, I know we're gravy heavy. We're non-Yankee gravy heavy at the beginning of this show, but screw it. It's getting late in the year. Why not? If you freaking don't like listening to me by now, you're going to turn it off anyway, or you're not even freaking hearing this. But I don't know if I've mentioned my passion for cruising. I love going on cruises. I've been on about 9 or 10 of them, and I started, my first one was in 2011. And since then, I've been on maybe a couple a year. Love the cruises. I just love, you know what I love about cruising? You get away. Nobody can get to you. It gives you the opportunity to see a different island, while just sailing along this basically floating city that is built to entertain you around every corner. If you're busy like me, if you live a kind of like fast paced life like me with the bars and the clubs and the restaurants and, you know, having to do all that, you don't need the whole Miami or the whole, you know, cool, for lack of a better term, cool guy, you know, type of vacation. I want to shut it down. I want to relax. I want everything right in front of me. And that's what you get when you cruise. There's no renting cars. There's no having to go to CVS. There's no having to make reservations. There's no having to get tickets. It's right there. So, but yeah, I booked the cruise, and not only it's not just any cruise. If you've heard me speak before, I also am one of the very few Long Island raised boys that have found myself through my travels across this country, gotten into country music. This is a Florida Georgia Line country cruise. There's about, I don't know, 10 or 12 acts on this cruise, and it is going from Miami to Cozumel, Mexico. And let's just say I'm pretty pumped about this one. Two of my favorite things. Now all we needed was like some sort of Yankee affiliation to be on this cruise. And you know what? I could freaking die at sea and be perfectly fine. All right, you guys want to talk about some Yankees, I'm assuming, since you naming the freaking thing is Yankees and gravy. Yeah, Houston, we have a problem. All right, so we got a couple of issues here now with the Yanks. And I talked all year about why we should stay positive and why we should feel good about this team. And we always knew, and I said it before the year started, if you listen to the podcast, I said that, you know, the team is not going to do very well. The team has an outside chance to make the playoffs and compete for a division if everybody stayed healthy. And then I proceeded to say, but look at the age on this team, so you know that's probably next to impossible to happen. So we're probably looking at, you know, a team that's going to maybe fight for a wild card at best. Fast forward a few months later, we have stayed healthy. And we have looked good. And we've gotten some performances from some people, A-Rod, who we couldn't have, I don't think anybody, I don't know anybody who would have thought A-Rod would have had 30 home runs and, you know, 80 RBIs in this time of year. And it's almost like it gives you like the feel of a big tease because they were good for so long and they were healthy for so long. You weren't looking at us like that. You weren't waiting for that other shoe to drop. But guess what? It's September 9th, 2015, and you can maybe start to see the other shoe dropping. Now, I'm not giving up still. When everybody was panicking for that stretch where we weren't scoring, through all that stuff, I wasn't panicking because I still thought the team we were fielding was good enough to win. Now, however, I'm still not panicking. But this is no good. We got an issue here. We got multiple issues here. The biggest one and the biggest hit that we've, you know, obviously Tex going down. You know, nobody thought he would be gone. Nobody thought he was going to have to go into DL. Foul ball off the thigh. Everybody thought that he'd have to sit out a couple of games. Turns out it's a bigger issue than we thought. Equally as big, maybe even more so, because, you know, with Tex, you got one guy, and it's our best guy in the lineup, but we do have other guys, a la McCann, a la A-Rod, Ellsbury, Gardner, that can play, Beltran, that can play at an all-star level offensively. Our pitching staff, while has been a very, very pleasant surprise, starting pitching staff, I should say, you're hanging on by a thread with that. CC has been inconsistent at best all year, and the one bright spot, the one surprise, what wasn't a surprise is, you know, what you thought you were going to get from a guy like Eovaldi was an innings eater. You thought maybe three or four starter, innings eater. He's going to keep you in games. He's going to have about a 500 record. He's exceeded expectations. Now, yeah, he hasn't. He's been pitching very well lately, but all year long he hasn't been lights out. He's been inconsistent as well. Just so happens that he has been getting a ridiculous amount of run support, and lately he's been seeming to have been pitching above his head. And so we lose that. So we lose basically a guy who's been, you know, almost a default ace for us, and we lose a guy who's not eating the innings at the level we wanted him to, but just the guy who's been winning baseball games. Young guy, thought he was a stud. I mean, he is a stud, but, you know, we were just hoping that if there was one guy that we didn't have to necessarily worry about injury-wise on our staff, it would be Mr. Eovaldi, but that's out the window right now. So what does this mean now? Tex, we don't know. Now, with Tex, you are looking at a guy who may or may not return for the rest of the year. They're saying it's probably not likely that he will return with much time left in the regular season. But he'll tell you, I'm coming back. Now, I don't know how he can say that when he's still on crutches and he can't put weight on his leg. I mean, I could see if he was seeing marginal improvement, and I love the fact that he says he's coming back, but, you know, he can't say he's coming back because he doesn't know. If you're still on crutches and there's still not really any improvement, you can't say that you're coming back. I wonder if we screwed up by putting him out there those couple of days you know, letting him play. He actually pinch hit one game, and he actually started a game too, and he's now worse than he was back then. Maybe we should have just left him alone. Who knows? Maybe he re-aggravated it. I don't know. We'll never know. But all we can do is hope with him. Hopefully we can get back. We can get him back. As well as Eovaldi. He just seems a little bit more serious. They don't even seem to think he wants to even pick up a baseball for a couple of weeks. If he doesn't do that, he's obviously got to do a rehab. And then what are you looking at with him? Seems like the best case scenario is he can come back for the playoffs. And that sucks too, because who knows? You got a guy basically coming back, and the first major league action he's going to see is in a playoff atmosphere. Not the most richest guy with playoff experience. So those things don't look good. Tex and Eovaldi. Also, Gardner. Gardner we need as well. He's a spark club plug to our lineup, a spitfire, a guy we absolutely need to win. This is probably not a serious injury. He's taken some anti-inflammatory shots. He ran into a wall, making a great catch. But doesn't look like he's going to be around for the next couple of days either. Hopefully, maybe he'll be back tonight. I don't know. But seems like he was going to need a couple of days off, and he was day-to-day. You got to really, really, really give this team credit, guys. They're hanging in there. They're doing their best. Most of them are old. A lot of them are tired. They're sticking around, and you know they've been matching this team, this juggernaut team. I don't know what the Blue Jays are, but I think it's been like, I don't know, 28 of like 34 or something like that. If you guys want to check it out, that's fine. But I knew what it was a few days ago, and I just kind of like randomly in my head tried to add up the games that I know they've won and lost since then. But it's something like that, like 28 of the last 34 games or whatever they've won, 35, 36 games. For us to clearly not be at our best at any stretch of the imagination, to be hanging in with these guys, and as of yesterday, we were in a virtual tie for first place in the loss column. Now we lost, they won last night, and we're a game and a half out now. So you have to really, really, really be impressed with, you know, the way this team has kind of fought. You know, it's like we're treading water. It looks like at this point we probably don't have the horses in the stable to win the division. Again, never say never. There's a lot of pessimistic Yankee fans out there. I have been known to be one of them, but watching this team, it's just a team that I like, a team that I like to get behind, a team that I root for. There's a lot of quiet guys having some amazing years too, both pitching and hitting. The way it's looking right now is that it's going to be us in the wild card, and it looks like right now we might be playing a team like Texas. So our hope is going to hinge on a gem from Tanaka in the playoffs. And that's it. Like, we're just going one game for all the marbles. We got to play Texas. We got to put our best guy out there and hope that we could find a way to win that one. We'll probably be able to set up a rotation to be able to make sure Tanaka pitches that game, which maybe other teams may not be able to do. And we just got to hope it happens. That's it. And then if we win that game and the horses come back, Tex, Eovaldi, you know, and everybody's, you know, kind of running all cylinders, and basically we're looking at Eovaldi, Tanaka, and Severino with a little bit of Pineda, depending upon how he does. If he could come back to his form, then he's another reliable guy. That would be great. We're going to add Warren to the rotation, it looks like, right now. I didn't know. I don't know if is he stretched out enough to be able to start a game. I guess whenever he pitches, it'll be a, you know, 5 or 6 inning outing tops. And then we'll have to just, you know, rely on some of the bullpen guys to get us through, which is another issue. Betances hasn't seemed to be himself lately. And I'm not going to worry about it. It's another thing that you can kind of like, you know, like A-Rod, everybody. I think that's why, you know, going back to what we talked about at the top of the show, why the beauty of baseball and why it is so fascinating to watch, because rarely do you get the guy, you know, even the best of the best of the best can rarely put it together through all this heat, through the summer, every day in, day out. can put forth these, you know, all-star MVP type efforts through the whole year. A lot of people would say, and who was it that said it? Was it McCann? I forgot who said it. But somebody even said Betances was the MVP of the team. At the beginning of the year, I said he's the best player. Like, Betances is just, you know, when he's on, you know, throwing 98 with that curveball, there's times, unlike anybody else on the Yankees, and don't get me wrong, you know, Miller's nasty too, but there's times when Betances is just flat out unhittable. Like, it's just silly. You get that Mariano 96 vibe when people just looking at each other like, what are we supposed to do? This guy's just not fair. Yeah, you can't keep that up. You're not going to have, you know, your best stuff through every game of every year all year. But yes, Betances has seemed to be a little bit lost in the last couple of games. He's in the last couple of outings he's had, but he's been battling. You like to see that. He is battling, and hopefully it's just a little bit of a slump that he's going to get through. So that's it. Hopefully we get the cavalry back, and hopefully we will win the one-game playoff. Hopefully we'll win the division. But that just does. If you're looking at the team objectively, and I'm not one of these Yankee fans that are going to be like, well, we suck, we can't win, we're going to blow it, Texas a pussy, this and that. No. You just have to look at it, step back, and be realistic. It doesn't look like with the teams, the way they're lined up, that we're going to win this division. You know, so if we do great, if we don't, we just got to hope for that one game win. We're on it that day, stars align, and then boom, clean slate. We're going into the playoffs. We get the cavalry back. And if that does happen, if those stars do align, I'm okay with our chances. I feel like we got a fighter's chance. We're not going to be the favorite, you know, but what are going to be? Am I going to be afraid of the freaking Houston Astros or the Kansas City Royals? Maybe I should be. But I can't. These are guys who are, you know, I got to feel like there has to be something to be said, you know, and it's not going to be the end-all be-all, but something has to be said for the mental advantage the New York Bronx baseball Yankees have. There has to be something there. When you're Houston in the playoffs here, in the playoffs, now granted, Yankee Stadium is nowhere near like it was, but you're still in the Bronx. You're still going up against, in the playoffs, one of the most storied franchise in the history of baseball. We'll have the ceremonies out there. We'll have the old school core four guys there, hopefully. You know, there's going to be an intimidation factor. So I give ourselves a chance to come out of the American League. And who knows? I think, you know, once you're in the World Series, who knows what can happen? Who knows what league is better? You know, you don't really know. Are the Cardinals, because their freaking record is so sick, you know, is the competition the same? Everybody thinks they know, but nobody really knows. That's it. Last night's game, I really thought we were going to win. When A-Rod hit that home run, I'm like, all right, we're on a roll here, because we had been on a roll after a few weeks or maybe even a month or so of offensive inconsistency. It looked like we started getting it back a little bit. It looked like we started really feeling comfortable and finding a groove again with a different guy doing it every night. But last night, they just put the clamps on us. When A-Rod hit that home run, I was like, even the day before, there was come-from-behind wins. You know, we're starting to feel good about, you know, being down a couple of runs and not panicking and knowing that it's going to come. Last night, it didn't come. So A-Rod did hit the home run, but we did not win. It just speaks to how important it's going to be for us to be able to manufacture runs. You know what I mean? Everybody keeps saying it. We're a home-run-hitting team. If we're just a home run hitting team, then that's no good, because I don't think we can win sitting around and waiting for the long ball. I know it's a big part of our game. I know it's the biggest part of our game. I know we lead by a long shot the league in 3-run home runs. That just shows you how good we are at getting on base too. Can't hit whole 3-run home runs if we're not getting on base. So we need the Guardies, the Ellsberries, and those guys at the top, you know, and later in the game, even the guys at the bottom of the lineup when we're coming around, like the Didi Gregoriuses and the Steven Drews, to be able to get on. And so we could set up the big guns for some home runs, which right now are Beltran, McCann, and A-Rod. I mean, I'll go to war with those three guys right now. We could text, take a break. Relax, and then we can insert text in the middle, who's had an MVP-type season for when he's been in there. So, again, there's reason to be hopeful. Guys, there is reason to be hopeful. Yes, we are reeling a little bit right now. We are on our heels. We are treading water with the injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Tex will be fresher. Maybe things like this will, you know, maybe Evaldi will come back and they'll be throwing 103 because he had a little bit of rest. You know, sucks though, man. Guy throws 100 and freaking, that's why it's like crazy. I mean, I inflammation. Hoping he's all right. Hopefully he's not freaking, it's not serious. He doesn't need Tommy John. But seems like any guy nowadays, you know, you're throwing over 100 miles an hour, the Tommy John thing is almost going to be inevitable. Hopefully not, you know. So that's why I like Severino so much, because the guy's a consistent 95, 96, smooth, fluid delivery. And, you know, he doesn't have to air it out every single time to be able to get people out. The guy locates, and that speaks well for longevity. And that's it. We got to be able to put together an offense that can manufacture runs and not just hit home runs. How about A-Rod? You got to feel good about A-Rod. Seems to be back a little bit. He only had, two or three home runs in the whole entire month of August. He already has four in September. Again, speaks to the grind that baseball is, especially if you're 40 years old. You know how many people were writing this guy off before the year started? You know how many people were writing him off again in September? You know, now he's banging out home runs like it's his job again. It actually is his job. So he's doing well. So welcome back, A-Rod. You know, it's crazy again. People just have such short-term freaking memories. And this guy was – some guy compared him to Whitey Bulger, a Boston gangster from whatever, the 20s or whatever, the 30s. He was public enemy number one. This guy was hated by New York Yankee fans. And any of you New York Yankee fans out there that said you hated him, didn't hate him, you're lying. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a few probably, you know. I said in the beginning, I hated him too. I still don't think what he did was right. I still think, but this is America. This is a story of redemption. And I said it in the beginning of the year. If you go back into the old episodes, I said, if the guy comes in, I said, what, like it or not, nobody's talking about it. This guy's the leader of the team. And nobody wants to say that. Nobody wants to realize that. But you're talking about, even if he didn't perform at the level if he did, even if he only had 15 home runs right now, sitting right now, when he was healthy, he would still be the leader of the team just because of longevity, just because he's A-Rod, and just because the way people kind of, you know, take to him. And he's a pretty good teammate while he's out there. The fact that he's freaking got 30 home runs and playing like an all-star, of course he's the leader of the team. And people are just like, okay, it's A-Rod. You know, the steroids are always going to be mentioned, but they're certainly not at the forefront like they used to be. He had a milestone, and this is a great one. I mean, 15 seasons with over 30 home runs. That's amazing. Only other guy to do that was Hank Aaron. Huge. I mean, good for A-Rod. Congratulations. I am certainly not condoning what he did. I am also been very repetitious when I say that I was kind of a supporter of him, if no other reason, because of the fact that everybody was piling on, and I just don't like to get into that. You know what I mean? When everybody's piling on, it's too easy. It just becomes the cool thing to do is to hate A-Rod. You know, call it whatever. It's part of my personality. I just tend to go the other way. Speaking of A-Rod, they were trying him out at third base, as we talked about. I think that idea got scratched. I think Girardi personally wanted to do it. I think Cashman shut it down. I just think Cashman was like, he's not a freaking first baseman. Stop. And Girardi, just being the company guy, went for it. They're also talking about other things for first base. They're talking about Romine, giving him a shot at first base. Bottom line, guys, there's nothing to do at first base. You got a guy. You have a first baseman. And he is ideally going to be your first baseman for the next 15 years, probably starting after next year. His name is Bird. And you got to give him a shot. That's it. You have to let him go through his growing pains, and this is going to be part of this year. And if we lose because of this, if this is one of the reasons we lose, then that's it. We're not going to go out and find some all-star first baseman. We need the guy's bat in the lineup. And you know what? This is just going to be trial by fire. And ideally what his job was going to be was to come in, provide some power, be able to give Teixeira a rest here and there when needed. Oh, well, the plan went awry. You are always going to be our first baseman. You are always going to be one of the new core fours, one of the untouchables of this team. You're on the speed track now. You know what I mean? You're in the express lane, and you're in the middle of a pennant race, and you just got to do it. You got to let this guy do it. I would rather just give him the job and let him play. And if he makes an error that screws us up, so be it. This is the guy, and let him learn from it. Rather than get cute and start putting Romine there for defense and, you know, whoever else, Headley, whatever. Let's just give this guy this job and see what he's about. You know, if you're talking to him, if he's as good as we say and think he's going to be, if he's good as he looks, offensively at least, you know, from the eye test. I know he doesn't necessarily have a 300 average and, you know, 9 home runs already, but you watch him, he makes good solid contact, and I think he's a good hitter. And I think the eye test tells me that he's going to be a good hitter for a very long time. The defense is a little suspect. Now, it's not necessarily error-driven. It's mostly, I think, mental mistake-driven. He's screwed up a couple of times on covering the base. And you know what? Let it happen. He's learning. They're going to communicate. You got to remember also, Tex has been out there for so long. They know a certain way he's going to do it, how to avoid each other when they're trying to cover. One thing I did see, and it's a pleasant surprise, I saw him screw up a few foul balls, pop flies up the line a little bit into shallow right field. And he looked a little weird, like kind of approaching the wall. And I've seen that be tested a couple of times lately. And he's obviously made the adjustment because he's knowing, you know, the grounds a little bit better. And he's making plays that he wasn't making a couple of weeks ago. So my vote, stick with Bert. So coming up, what do we got here? Big, big, big series. We have one more with the Orioles. I was hoping and still hoping we can kind of go into it basically even. Sucks that we lost last night and they won. So now we're a game and a half out. If we can make that game up. Somehow. If we can't, we can't. I certainly wouldn't want to lose another game tonight going in. If it happens, it happens. That would mean we were going 2.5 down. But if we can make that up, go in basically with a virtual tie for first place, and then we just have a showdown. And again, I look at it as like, why not? Why not another Boston Massacre like 2000? I think that was 2006, right? Freaking 10 years ago? That was 10 years ago? Are you kidding me? Ugh. Remember that when Boston came in and we were basically tied? Matsui and Sheffield were down, but we just basically rallied together as a team and beat them 4 straight and told them to shut the F up. You're out. You're done. We lost to the Tigers in the first round, and that was one of the most frustrating series I've ever watched. But now, what do we got? We got freaking... We got the big, badass Blue Jays coming in for a 4-game stretch. And this is why you love it, guys. This is why you love it. You watch baseball, and you know what? A 3-2 pitch or a 2-1 pitch or a 1-2 pitch in May, June. So ho-hum. But now, every freaking pitch counts. You're exciting playoff cold weatherish, even though it's hot as hell still, but September, October baseball, there's nothing more exciting because so many of the things that you just took for granted, foul balls, oh, well, he fell, lazy foul ball, oh, it's in the dirt, oh, it's, and you give the last, you know, you like watching it, but you didn't give a shit about it, it was basically insignificant. A freaking high strike, the strike zone matters, everything is just, it matters now, you know, every pitch. And it's an exciting time of year. So I'm hoping for another Boston Massacre. Why not? Let's have the mindset of screw you, Toronto. We're the Yankees at the end of the day. You had your little run. We're taking you down. 4-game straight beat down. Do you know what kind of message that would send? At least 3 out of 4. That would send one hell of a message. It's about it for the Yanks. I got, you know, just hoping for the best. Let's not lose focus yet. Let's not lose hope yet. Let's stay with the Yankees. Let's be true fans, and let's see where this takes us. What about Harvey, huh? Mets? And not that we've talked too much Mets, but I don't know. I'm going to tell you something about this guy. I'm not into him. Ever since, you know, whatever. I don't give a shit about people walking around and having the swagger and thinking they're better. And, you know, that's part of confidence. That's part of what makes you as good of a pitcher who you are. But this guy took it to a different level with his, you know, every step he takes, he seems to be, I'm a big guy when it comes to mentality, character guys. Look at the core four that we had and then throw in Bernie Williams. They were as good of men as they were baseball players. And I think that is every much as important to, as to why we won than anything else. You had good guys on your team. You had guys that played well together. They played well together because they liked each other. They liked each other because they knew they were all good guys. This guy is about Harvey. This guy is all about him. He's not a team guy. He wants you to think he's a tough guy, and he probably is. I mean, but, you know, then the whole innings limit thing, I don't have to go over it, right? I mean, the guy basically, through his agent, reminded everybody at the last minute that he has an innings limit because he wants to preserve his arm and make sure he can get his $200 million that he's probably going to earn over the course of his next 20 years of his career. Well, 20 years is a little crazy, but 15 years remaining of his career. And he did it through his agent. And then he backtracked. And then the Mets fought with him and this and that. I remember I was watching Dan Patrick. And this was right in the middle of his injury when he had Tommy John. And Dan Patrick, who's a classy guy, basically. He's a respected guy. I just started asking him a couple of questions about the Tommy John surgery. And Harvey just said, I'm here to talk about metrics. Or whatever he was sponsoring. And then Dan pushed him a little bit, respectfully pushed him on it, like, you know, well, we just want to know, I'm sure we'll get to that, but we wanted to know how you were coming along or what you thought about your, Dan, I'm here to talk about metrics. Well, here's a clue, Jerkoff. Dan Patrick has no interest in having you on the radio to push whatever product you're trying to push. This is how it works. You get to push your product when you give some information and give something to the public. Whether he just had a mental block or whether he was immature or whether he was just being a dick, he just basically stonewalled Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick, to his credit, I mean, he could have embarrassed the guy. He could have completely embarrassed the shit out of the guy. But he chose not to. He's like, okay, all right, so what do you want to say about metrics? And he let him say it. He's like, all right, thank you, Matt. Appreciate the call and good luck. And then he went on his diatribe after. But, you know, I mean, me, I wouldn't have been able to help myself. I'm a little bit more of an asshole than Dan Patrick. You got to just educate this freaking idiot. Between that, between stuff like that, and, you know, just the way he carries himself, and they're talking about the Yankees getting him. And I don't want him. I don't want the guy. You can have him. I don't want an entitled douchebag walking around. I just don't. You know, I want class acts on the team. I want the core five, you know, core four plus one, I guess you'd call it, that we had, those types of guys. And it seems like, you know, so far these new guys kind of have that type of mentality. You come up through the Yankee system, they kind of instill that to you. And that's why I say he's not a Yankee. That's the podcast for the week, guys. I appreciate you guys listening. It's going to be one hell of a fun weekend. Please write me again. Write me so I'll read your email on the air. It's yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @yankeesandgravy. Most importantly, find me on iTunes. Subscribe, comment, and rate. I said it before, I'll say it again. The more feedback I get and the more I know that people are listening gives me, you know, the inspiration to kind of keep cutting these episodes. And that's about it. Fun time of year, guys. Thanks again for listening. We will talk to you soon. Enjoy.